Jesus spoke to the crowds about the kingdom of God, and he healed those who needed to be cured. As the day was drawing to a close, the 12 approached him and said, "Dismiss the crowd so they can go to the surrounding villages and farms and find lodgings and provisions, for we are in a deserted place." He said to them, "Give them some food yourselves." They replied, "Five loaves and two fish are all we have, unless we ourselves go and buy food for all these people." Now the men there numbered about 5,000. Then he said to his disciples, "Have them sit down in groups of about 50. They did so and made them all sit down. Then taking the five loaves and the two fish and looking up to heaven, he said the blessing over them, broke them, and gave them to the disciples to set before the crowd. They all ate and were satisfied. And when the leftover fragments were picked up, they filled 12 wicker baskets." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
A few years ago, Archbishop Thompson started writing what he calls leadership briefings and sends them out to all the pastors, the priests, and the parish life coordinators in the archdiocese. Typically, they show up Friday morning in my email box, inbox. And I had taken a stab at a homily earlier in the week, wasn't really happy how it was going. And then I read his leadership briefing and said, "Look at this, he's done all the work for me." And what he's done is he's pulled quotes from different church documents, such as the Catechism and some of the documents of Vatican II. And so if you like what I say today, you can thank him. And if you don't, well, it's the bishop's word, so it's not my fault. But he begins his reflection by reflecting on what we heard in our second reading. Scripture scholars think that that account of what Jesus did at the Last Supper, the institution of the Eucharist, was actually the oldest account that at least was written down from one of St. Paul's letters. And he reflects on it by saying, "Recalling these words of Jesus, the Catholic Church professes that in the celebration of the Eucharist, bread and wine become the body and blood of Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit and the instrumentality of the priest." This is a foundational truth for us as Catholics. There are other Christian denominations that offer communion, but they don't believe it's Jesus' real presence. They believe it's just a sign of his body and a sign of his blood. But we believe when he said, "This is my body, this is the cup of my blood," we believe that he is being serious, that we take him literally in that. That's exactly what happens. The bread and the wine that are placed on this altar behind me, through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the words that I, as a priest, say, truly become Christ's real presence. He goes on to say that the sacred transformation that occurs in the holy sacrifice of the Mass is a sign and a cause of the transformation that should occur in the lives of all who receive this great sacrament of Christ's love. Archbishop is pointing out it should make a difference. It should make a difference for us who participate in the Eucharist, who receive Christ in the Eucharist. That transformation that occurs, that miracle that occurs on this altar, should be not just a sign of a transformation that needs to be going on in our hearts, but is actually the cause of it. Having such an intimate encounter with Jesus as we do in the Eucharist should make a difference in our lives, should allow us to grow holy as He is holy. Through our baptism, we became adopted sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father. And through the Eucharist, we continue to strengthen that bond and to turn our hearts even closer to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. The Archbishop quotes Pope Francis, who said, "The Eucharist is not a prize for the perfect, but a powerful medicine and nourishment for the weak." The Eucharist is a gift. What that means is there's nothing we could ever do to earn such an awesome gift as Jesus' real presence. There is nothing we could ever do to earn the gift of the Eucharist. We receive it because we are loved. We receive it because it is a gracious gift given from the selfless heart of Jesus. But because we are not perfect, because we are a church filled with sinners, it becomes a powerful medicine to cure us of our weakness, to give us nourishment for this journey throughout life. The Eucharist is an incredible gift. The Catechism of the Catholic Church states, "The Eucharist is a memorial of Christ's death and resurrection, a sacrament of love, a sign of unity, a bond of charity, a paschal banquet in which Christ is consumed, the mind is filled with grace, and a pledge of future glory is given to us." That is a lot that happens every time we celebrate this sacrament. As I've said before, Jesus wants us to remember, to actively be a part of His death and resurrection. And as I said just now, He gives us this sacrament out of love, in the hopes that it will enable us to love God even more completely and love our neighbor as ourself. A sign of unity. I've mentioned before, Jesus' greatest wish for His disciples was, "Father, make them one, as I am one with You, and You are one with Me." He said this at the Last Supper, when He instituted the Eucharist, because He knew through the Eucharist this bond between us becoming members of His body of Christ, the Church, is strengthened by the Eucharist. We just have to accept that into our hearts and not allow the differences, the divisions, the biases, the hatreds, and the prejudice to break that unity apart. And it's a banquet where we actually receive Jesus in the most intimate way possible as we consume His real presence in the Eucharist. But it's also a banquet that allows us to see a glimpse of the heavenly banquet, a banquet that we have all received an invitation to join at our baptism. Our lives then become our RSVP to that banquet. Do we accept our call to be sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father? Do we accept the call of our Savior to join Him for all eternity in heaven? Our acceptance is how we live our lives. Living our lives such that we can be recognized as disciples of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He goes on to say, "In this sacrament of love, the Son of God enters into our world once again and becomes one with us, body and blood, soul and divinity, in a perfect communion of love." We, of course, celebrate Christ's first coming at Christmas. And of course, we look forward to his second coming. But as the Archbishop reminds us, every time we come together to celebrate this sacrament, Jesus comes again. He enters into our world in a very real way, where we can feed and drink of his body and blood. A perfect communion of love given out of the love he has for us. If we accept that love, it can truly make a difference in our own lives. And so this weekend, also known as Corpus Christi, is a time to rejoice in the great gift that we have received in the Holy Eucharist. You've probably heard through articles in the Criterion about a little bit about the National Eucharistic Revival. The bishops here in the United States recognize that there are Catholics that don't understand what a gift the Eucharist is. Maybe don't even believe in the real presence that occurs each and every time the Mass is celebrated. And so the goal of this National Eucharistic Revival is to renew the Church by enkindling a living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ in the Holy Eucharist. It kicks off today. And this first year of the revival, it's a three-year program. This first year of the revival is diocesan-focused, and in Indianapolis today, there will be several Masses at our cathedral, along with a Eucharistic procession of about close to 2 miles from our cathedral to St. John's Church in Indianapolis, a Eucharistic procession through the streets of Indianapolis. Following that will be an hour of adoration and benediction. The second year is parish focus, where we get to, as a parish family, get to understand more completely the great gift that Jesus gives us in the Eucharist, gets to have the opportunity to even fall in greater love with Jesus through love of himself in the Eucharist. And the third year of this effort is a national focus that will culminate in a National Eucharistic Congress that will actually be hosted in Indianapolis. We as an archdiocese have the privilege of being the host diocese for dioceses across the country to gather. My dear friends, we truly are blessed to have a God that loves us so much so as to send his Son, and a Son and Father who love us so much so as to send his Spirit. The Holy Spirit continues to work on our hearts along with the grace flowing from this sacrament of the Eucharist, something that is made possible through the Spirit's work. And so, to conclude, the Archbishop writes, "Let us fall in love with this most precious sacrament. Let us allow ourselves to be fed by divine grace so that we will have the strength to love God above all else and to teach and serve others as the Lord has commanded us to do."